Thank you, Luke. In it with you. Got good communication with our sound guys. I'm like a month post-COVID, but still have a bit of a cough too. Worst nightmare to like start coughing in the microphone for all of you. So if that happens, Robert's going to mute me quick. And it is just what it is. But in a moment now, I'm going to give our beautiful children through the fifth grade a special invitation to continue to worship in an experience that's been designed just for them. Today, from itty-bitty to fifth grade, we're going to be looking at the greatest gift, which is Jesus. And I encourage you, after our service today, to ask one of these kids what it is that they learned about Jesus. Before we head out, though, I'd like to invite all of our kids to join me up here in the front, or to stand where you are. Either is acceptable. And if everybody else would extend a hand or two of blessing in the direction near one of these kids near you, and join me as I pray. Jesus, we give you great thanks for each one of these kids. May they know that you, God, are here and that you see them. May they feel your presence, listen for your voice, and experience your love. Amen. Kids, I invite you now to meet your leaders in the back. And families, you can find your kids in their classrooms at the conclusion of our time here today.
Please stand in body or in spirit for the reading of
this story of the Magi is a familiar one to many of us. And as a children's pastor, I feel like I've literally cast hundreds of children as wise men and women over the past years in what I'll claim have been some of the most amazing Christmas pageants ever. Yeah, there we go. Yet of the two biblical tellings of the birth of Jesus, one by Matthew and one by Luke, just Matthew includes the Magi. Matthew's approach is to focus on what happened after Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Instead of shepherds, Matthew gives us Magi from the east. Instead of a stable, Matthew takes us to Herod's palace. Instead of a manger, Matthew shows us gifts fit for a king. Instead of angels, Matthew tells us of dreams. As I studied this passage anew, however, I found there were many more theories than I realized for what exactly went down with these stargazers. Was the star a convergence of planets, a supernova, a comet, an angel? Were the Magi Indian, Arabic, Persian, and or descendants of Seth? There were 12. They were many in number. Kings, astronomers, astrologers. So many speculations from just 12 short verses. It became clear to me pretty quickly that no matter how much time I might invest in our text, the nitty-gritty in large part would still remain hidden. As I reprioritized my focus from trying to figure out the specifics of the story towards simply listening into what God was trying to tell me through it, I would begin to see this mystery as an incredible gift. The familiar turned quite surprising. The result then has been three questions. First one, what are we looking for? Well, we've been looking at this whole story of David, a man with a screenshot of God's heart. For those of you that timelines are helpful, King David ruled over Israel at the height of its glory, about 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus. It's a really long time. Yeah. During this time, David would acknowledge a day when a new Lord would rule. There are several prophecies in the Hebrew Scriptures that describe Jesus with incredible detail, including David being a descendant, or Jesus being a descendant of David. And as we've looked at David, perhaps you can agree that it's actually somewhat miraculous that God was somehow able to keep this family line alive through so many crazy disasters. What are we looking for? Fast forward about 500 more years, and we meet Daniel, made famous for his time in the lion's den. Daniel lived in captivity in Babylon, along with his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Though they faced many pressures to conform to Babylonian society, they stood strong in their faith. And God blessed Daniel with wisdom and the ability to interpret dreams. Daniel, he was also a magi, and maybe even the magi of all magi. Pretty cool, huh? Prophetic voices and words, they can sometimes feel uncomfortable or confusing, but they point us to where God is asking us to go. And Daniel's teachings then, they carried through five more generations. And so that the magi in our story today, they knew these teachings well. Still, the magi didn't happen by the sign of the star by chance. In addition to knowing their history and these prophecies of Daniel, these magi were both curious and persistent studiers of the night sky, experts who probably were looking at the stars every single night, trying to interpret the signs, the movement of the planets, the shooting stars, the phases of the moon. They knew that something of cosmic importance was happening. These fellows, they're already looking for the Messiah, pursuing truth the very best of their ability. And it seemed that God really loved that. What counts is not so much the form, but the integrity of the pursuit. And God met them in their own medium. God guided these magi by a star. Well, a few years ago, I was at Costco taking a drink to pick up some important provisions like coffee and toilet paper with all five of my children. They were ages 16 to 23 at the time, and my father-in-law, Jack, had given them each a little bit of money. And for some of them, well, it was burning a little bit of a hole in their pocket. And as I set off to kind of continue my shopping as efficiently as I could, my five kids traveled together throughout the store, mostly in a route taking in the most food samples along the way. I finished up my shopping, and as I headed towards the registers in front, I could see a bit of a hubbub going on with my kids. Elena, my youngest, was super excited that she had found a telescope. And then there were all of the siblings telling her why it was a bad purchase. "Don't spend all your money on just one thing," Mikey said. "You'll use it once and it'll be a clothes rack," said another. "It's an impulse buy." Well, despite more advice than Elena ever wanted, she bought the telescope. And I'm happy to report to this day it's not a clothes rack. But while her siblings then returned to their college campuses and jobs in other states, Elena and I actually had a blast exploring our night skies together. My folks gave her a subscription to Astronomy magazine for her birthday, and we both turned to their star studying guide for newbies to gain some valuable tips. Learn how to observe the sky in 10 easy steps, they claimed. If we're looking for God, the Bible's actually a great place to start. And I found the advice in this stargazing guide could also be helpful for studying God's word. Let's explore just a few here this morning. Get to know the sky in a general sense. Find a central point and go from there. In the northern hemisphere, the North Star can orient you to find all other constellations that you're looking for. The Bible is vast. What is your orienting point? God's love? Justice? Caring for the poor? Holiness? Choosing a point to focus on can give us a place to start as we study God's word. Immerse yourself in the subject. Not just a cursory glance, but a deep and purposeful study. The Magi were able to see the star because they were experts. They observed even the subtle differences. God's word, it's living and active. You could study the same passage literally every single day and still glean new things each time. Jesus describes this as bringing out of the storeroom new treasures as well as old. Pick your observing site carefully. If you want to see the moon or the North Star, you can probably just look out your window. If you want to see the Milky Way, you need to be somewhere away from light pollution. When we study God's word, sometimes we got to get rid of the distractions, right? Before it, we can begin to see what God really is trying to reveal. Keep a log. A simple log contains the date and time of your observation, what object you looked at, and a brief description like saw spiral arms or cloudy sky. No details visible. Maybe you know that writing something down signals to your brain, this is important. Keeping a log or journal also can remind us of what we've learned or how God spoke, what questions stirred, and sometimes even what bugged us. It helps steward our memory. It gives us a place to look back and see all that God has shown us. The guide continues, become a social astronomer. One of the benefits of being a part of a local church is having a community to study God's word with, and where we can also learn how to grapple it out together. It's good. It's good to work on those healthy things. Observe everything. Not only does God reveal himself to us in his word, but in nature, in others, in books, in everything, if we are looking. This leads us to a second question. How far would you go? The Magi knew that they knew that they knew that one day a Savior would come. They didn't know who the Savior would be or when the Savior would come, but they would watch the signs. They would study world events. So when the Savior did appear, they would not only be able to find him, but to worship him. They believed this would happen in their lifetime. And the Magi, they were confident it was God's purpose for their lives. And it's ours too. We exist to look for Jesus, to find him, and then to worship him. In the summer of 2021, it took me a little over a month, walking on average 15 miles a day, to walk 528 miles in total across France and Spain. This is about the minimum distance the Magi would have traveled. It's likely, however, that they traveled further, even as much as twice my journey. Before heading out, I had studied the maps. I had gone over my specific route in detail. I knew there would be way markers along the way to keep me on the right path. I had read a gazillion, literally, blog posts in my planning. I knew where I could find lodging and food and be able to fill up my water along the way. But the Magi, they didn't have this luxury as they set off on their adventure of a lifetime. And I imagine they were experiencing all the feels, right? Excitement, anticipation, amazement, confusion, probably even a good amount of anxiety and fear. Still, these Magi, they put their faith in action in what I like to call a bit of an international scavenger hunt. It's a good 7 on the Enneagram kind of adventure. At each stage in their journey, they would get a clue. Their first clue was a star. Good job, A plus. Recognizing this as the birth of Jesus, they initially did conclude that the king could be born in none other than Jerusalem, which was the religious and political headquarters of Israel. So as they followed the star, they were heading there first. The Magi expected to find excitement about the birth of the Messiah, perhaps a few answers too. But what they would find, however, were religious leaders who understood the biblical information correctly, but failed in its application to their lives. The Magi had just traveled a considerable distance, and the scribes, they didn't even bother to go from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, which was maybe just about 6 miles. How far would you go? Clue number 2 actually comes by way of King Herod and those same religious leaders when they respond, the child is in Bethlehem. It's at this point our text tells us the star reappears. The Magi seemingly reach this dead end and the star reappears. This was a whole new revelation for me last week. Sort of this idea that the star wasn't actually visible for their whole journey. Friends, journeying through the desert in the dark, that changes things. That's a different journey. With great faith, the Magi, they persevered. When the Magi needed a sign, a clue, the very most, the star reappears and leads them to Bethlehem, their final few kilometers right to the house of Jesus. A special guiding light sent from God for those who are seeking. Their lives would forever be changed. The Magi were thrilled to go all out to pursue this new king because they were seeking what they really wanted. Has the journey of your faith brought you to the same place? A third and final question this morning. What gifts will you bring? Irish novelist and playwright Brendan Francis Behan had this to say about gifts. If you have a talent, use it in every which way possible. Don't hoard it. Don't dole it out like a miser. Spend it lavishly like a millionaire, intent on going broke. And the Magi did just this, that with so much joy. They brought with them 3 gifts. It said that gold speaks of royalty, Incense speaks of divinity, and myrrh speaks of death. Yet it is almost certain that the Magi did this unawares. They simply wanted to honor the king of the Jews. And these precious gifts, they weren't presented to Mary or Joseph, but to Jesus himself. More important than their gift is the fact that they worshiped Jesus. It must have been a curious sight to see these fancy dignitaries bowing before the young child. Well, whenever I think of gifts this time of year, I think of the song Little Drummer Boy. My family had a Burl Ives 8-track, and I would dance around the living room on the rusty-colored shag rug in my Wonder Woman underoos, singing loud and proud to every single song. More than just Christmas time. I loved it. So many others have recorded this song over the years. David Bowie and Bing Crosby, the Glee cast, Bob Dylan, ABBA, Red Hot Chili Peppers, so many more. And while I'll always be partial to Burl, I'll never tire of hearing pa-rum-pa-bum-bum in whatever genre or key, even off, that it comes. The little boy had something right that we often get wrong, or at least don't live as if it's true. As the song goes, the little boy was told to come and see the newborn king. Everyone would be honoring him with their finest, finest gifts. But the little boy, the drummer boy, was poor and didn't have a gift for the king. All he could do was play his drum. So the little boy began to play the drum as best he had ever played. Pa-rum-pa-bum-bum. That's right, Francis, sing along. We've heard this message before. No gift is too small, because our giving has more to do with our heart than the actual gift. And the little boy got it. But I wonder if he was so happy to play his drum because he understood something even deeper, that this baby, he actually sees you. He already knows you and was born to die for you. There is infinite power even in an infant Savior. The Magi bring gifts fit for a king, and the drummer boy simply offers what it is that he has. Yet all bow down and worship this sweet babe in a manger. This baby, this king who came to a dark and broken world for people like us. All so that he could give us a living hope. A hope so alive it actually has the potential to literally change our lives forever. God wants us to come to him too. We can stop our performing and our pretending and find rest in the wonder of the word that has become flesh and dwelt among us. Church, the King of the universe is here, is right here. Are we looking for God? How are we daily looking for God in his word, in each other, and in our own hearts? Without intentionality, we can find ourselves looking in the wrong place or forget to look all together. Like the Magi, we get to prioritize our pursuit, and it is so worth it every day. Single time. How far will you go? These Magi, they were responding to a divine revelation from God that he had given them to come and to look for Jesus. And they would stop at nothing to find him. When they did finally find Jesus, They worshiped him. Nothing could divert the Magi from their mission. Nothing. When God gives a dream to pursue, though, we often have to deal with a King Herod who tries to distract us along the way. When we're part of a Christian community like this one, friends, we never have to journey alone. We get to face our King Herods together. Well, there are several different greetings pilgrims share while walking the Camino de Santiago. Yet it's an ancient one in Latin that became the most meaningful for me on my most recent walk this past October. One person walking says, "Ultrea," and the other replies, "Et susea." The gist of this is one person is encouraging, "Onward," and the other person back, "Upward," and beyond what you could ever imagine. Crazy enough, I've walked 3 Caminos now, and I actually hope one day to walk another. And they each have their significant challenges. They're fantastic, but they're not easy. Receiving an encouraging and an empowering word from a fellow pilgrim walking along truly can make all of the difference sometimes. No challenge too great, no distance too far. And we get to do this for one another. Ultrea! Good job. All right. What gifts will you bring? I think God calls us through his son to look at our own treasures, to look inward and say, what do I have to bring to the king? What do I have to offer him? Maybe you don't have gold, incense, or myrrh, but maybe you have your life, your time, your energy, your zeal, your money, your gifts, your smile. Or perhaps you need to ask a deeper question today. Maybe I don't need to give something to Jesus right now. Maybe I need to receive something. In truth, what God really wants is us. So receiving is what will happen when we release and give him our sense of inadequacy that we don't have something to bring. Or maybe still I need to come and acknowledge that I've never come into a relationship with Jesus, and I need Jesus to be my Savior. I'm going to invite you all just to close your eyes right now and to put yourself in the story by picturing in your mind the Magi kneeling before Jesus. If you are so inclined, go ahead and actually get down on the floor and kneel alongside these Magi here today. Fix your gaze on the baby Jesus. You'll always have his full attention. Do you want to tell him anything today? If you're kneeling there, realizing that you've never done that before, or it's been a really long time, maybe it's time to fully surrender your life and your will to Jesus. When we surrender ourselves to God, we worship him. Surrendering doesn't lead us into worship. Our surrender is our worship. Jesus and the kingdom have the most value and worth. And as we encounter their worth, our lives change. We want to offer all that we are and go to the very ends of the earth because this king, our king, is just that valuable. So whether you are a first-timer today or have been kneeling before our God for so many years, today is the day to come and worship. Amen.